Hey, everybody, and welcome, as always, to the only movie podcast on the face of the earth. It's me, Dan the Nut, Leo. It doesn't sound that good. And with me, as always,
it's Robert Mecki, also known from here on out as the Supreme Nut.
Yeah, the Nutty Professor, if I ever saw one.
Yeah, call me Dr. Doolittle.
Deal. All right. All right, Dr. D. All right, we're gonna. This is gonna be a nice breezy episode because both of our internet connections, or more specifically mine, I think we've deduced, are a little wonky tonight. So let's just get right into the box office. You know what the main story is? It's Captain Marvel, which is making money, a lot of money. It made 153 in America this weekend. That's a spicy meatball. Yeah. Followed closely by How to Train Your Dragon at 14 million. And then Tyler Perry's A Madea Family Funeral at 12 million. So Captain Marvel made more than 10 times that How to Train Your Dragon made. But this is week three for How to Train Your Dragon. So what are you going to do?
Yeah. Also, it's a fucking Marvel movie.
That's what they do now. They just make a lot of money.
I mean, I know James Woods would have you believe otherwise. Right. It's a fucking Marvel movie. Although I am getting a huge fucking kick out of incel Twitter talking about how like these numbers are fake and this movie actually didn't make that much money, and that like all of the news media is conspiring to report that this box office is just being inflated.
Even if it made half the amount of money that it is reported on being made, it still made a lot of money. Like,
yeah, because it's a fucking Marvel movie.
That's just what happens.
I do find it funny that everybody was like, oh, yeah, we really showed it to those white supremacists and those alt writers and everybody involved that wanted this movie to fail by saying like, oh, yeah, we really went out and made this movie a shit ton of money. It's like, dude, it's a fucking Marvel movie.
Yeah, it's owned by Disney.
Yeah.
The most like profitable movie studio in the world.
Yeah.
It's we really show those incels, guys, by giving our money to a huge corporation.
And all these people are like, oh, man, I can't believe Captain Marvel finally broke the female superhero myth that like a female superhero could never be profitable at the box office. It's like, one, what are you talking about? We've already had Wonder Woman and Suicide Squad.
Yeah. We'll get into that a little bit later, or maybe not. Well, maybe we'll just talk about the movie. But right now, let's get into the highs, the lows, and the toss-ups. The high right off the bat is Disney is closing the vault, and Rob's note is for poor people. Yes, you heard it here first. If you don't want to get the Disney subscription, that means you'll never see another Disney movie again. This is just a way of like guaranteeing a certain amount of money is going to be like parents. Like if I had kids, which I don't. Then I would definitely have the Disney streaming service just so we could watch like Bambi and whatever else I didn't get to see when I was a kid.
Their marketing gimmick should be it's cheaper than a babysitter.
Like, yeah, it is.
Just pay for Disney Plus. It's like $8 a month. I guess we don't have pricing yet, but I'm assuming it's going to be competitive with Netflix.
Right.
And then, just sit your dumbass kid in front of the TV and put like, you know, The Lion King 1.5 on for 8 hours straight on repeat.
Sign me up. See, Disney should get broken up because it doesn't make any sense that it has like all of the content. Like,
okay, Elizabeth Warren.
No, I mean, what she's talking about, like the tech giants. I'm saying like, why did we let this go through where Disney now owns Lucasfilm? Like it owns all Star Wars properties and it owns all Fox properties now too.
Yep.
And then it's also got all the Disney and Pixar. Like what, like who let this happen? Like,
I mean, I would think Disney would own Disney properties.
Exactly. But now like I could see a Disney specific, streaming service maybe like 10 years ago, like, hey, it's got all the Disney movies and Pixar. Like, oh, that's cute. That's cool. And it's like, oh yeah. And it's also got original Star Wars movies.
Hell
like
yeah.
What? Wait, what? And now it's got original comic book, like movie. I'm like, what? Like they have so many things. So that it is, I can't imagine anybody not getting the Disney streaming service who is like a fan of like literally any type of thing.
Yeah. But I mean, so Disney has kind of a vice on pop culture at the moment. But I'm also happy that Disney is the one that bought like Star Wars and other properties. Because so Disney, I think you could easily make the argument, saved both Marvel and Star Wars. Well, not okay, not saved, but revived. Because what the fuck was the last big Star Wars media to come out before Disney owned it?
Like the Clone Wars, right? Like that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So a Cartoon Network TV show that they actually canceled before Disney bought it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Marvel is even worse. Like when Marvel was like licensing their shit out and they didn't have Kevin Feige. Kevin Feige. I think it's Kevin Feige.
I think it's Kevin Mozzarella.
Yeah. Kevin Focaccia bread.
Yeah.
Before he really Kevin had fish creative out of water. Control. Yeah. All before, right, I'm before done. Disney. Fuck you, Rips. before Disney gave like him unifying control of Marvel as a brand, like we were getting shit like Daredevil, we were getting Elektra, we were getting Ghost Rider, like not like
okay. All this I'm shit not making the argument that Marvel getting bought wasn't a good thing. I just am saying that like in the overlapping circles that is like media, Disney is in the middle of too many of those circles. Which yeah. gives them in the streaming universe a strong grip on the amount of content that they can put out that is already like close and dear to people's hearts.
So what do you want to give these franchises back to the fans?
Like shut up. Like, shut up.
I don't know. I just don't yeah, know. I really don't know what the alternative is at this point. Like
yeah. They shouldn't have been able to buy Fox. Like, so, okay, they have Fox, LucasArts.
In the situation
Art,
that
like,
you're proposing, if a government agency were to come in and break up this media monopoly, how would that play out?
It's what do you mean? They have lawyers for that. Like, why do I have to come up with the exact? I don't think I should have to
because
come up with the
you're
exact
proposing
mechanism.
The action.
Yeah. I'm not saying like, okay, well, first they got to get a team of lawyers to really evaluate. Like, no, they got to trigger the antitrust laws and then that'll do something. And then take these companies and split them back up into different companies. Take, you know, like you can have one, you know, the issue is that
hey, there's nothing wrong with liking Daredevil. If you really want to see Marvel go back to that state of being.
No, I don't want that, but I'm uncomfortable with the idea that there is one producer of content that has, you know, maybe it's just like the changing landscapes, but let's see if this year goes like we think it will. We've got, you know, Captain Marvel, we've got Avengers Endgame, we've got the new Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's reasonable to assume that Disney could own half of the global box office.
Yeah. If they like, don't already.
Right, exactly. Like, and it's in to me, that seems a little strange. That you know, and we saw it with the James Gunn thing. We have one person who we have one entity that has a huge sway over the way movies are made. And luckily, he's a bankable guy. Like that, we all know he can make a movie that can make a lot of money. But imagine what it happens with somebody who doesn't have the proven out, you know, multi-hundred-million-dollar track record, and Disney decides like, hey, sorry, you posted these tweets, a little unsavory, so we're going to, you know, axe you. And then Warner Brothers is like, we don't care. You know, if, you know, Fox, which is now owned by Disney, is like, yeah, no, our parent company is with it. You know, I think that amount of power can be detrimental to when it's consolidated in that form. Anything that it does has a huge impact on the industry and the way that people react to it.
Yeah, but it also sets up a landscape where revolution is inevitable.
Sure. Yeah, I guess that's what I'm proposing.
Okay, I do
take
not
down
think
our
that,
scroll overlords yeah, that are inhabiting Disney.
That's a cute Captain Marvel reference. I don't think that Disney is going to be in this position of power for that much longer. I think that we're kind of going to, I think we're probably going to see the tipping point this year with Endgame and Episode 9 both coming out at the same time. But yeah, I don't think Disney's going to have this much sway when these franchises start to lose steam. And I think that you can make the argument they're kind of starting to already. If you just,
I'm looking at Captain Marvel's like numbers, and I'm seeing 153 million.
Yeah,
but I'm seeing that like some of the highest grossing movies of all time, all having come out like the last year.
You also look at Solo's performance. You look at, I know this is going to sound weird because it was a $1.5 billion worldwide gross, but The Last Jedi's performance in comparison to even like The Force Awakens or any of the box office adjusted previous Star Wars films. I think that Disney is just starting to oversaturate the market and people are eventually going to want a new franchise. Multiple franchises.
Maybe. Yeah, I think the Chinese box office can really drive if we're seeing the incremental decreases between first, the Star Wars movies don't do super well overseas.
Yeah,
that's kind of like an unknown entity. If we're seeing the incremental decreases in box office from The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, we're looking at another decade of huge profitability.
Oh, yeah. And that's not even including merchandising.
Right. Exactly. Now we look at like the top, you know, R-rated grossing movies of all time, Deadpool, which was owned by Fox, which is now owned by Disney.
Yeah. And also
so,
Logan.
Correct. Everything is being owned. It's all funneling up to the top. And I think
Iger.
Yeah, it's all to Bob Iger's gold plated toilet that mm-hmm.
It's Iger's all the way down.
Diarrhea poops in whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, you should write for Rick and Morty, dude.
Yeah. I already cashed that check. So I don't know. My point is we'll be able to see. I think at the end of this year, we will still be like, wow, like this will be one of the best years for Marvel. For Disney, bar none.
Yeah. But and, I also think it's weird to invoke ideas of like the antitrust laws, because I feel like art and entertainment are not scarce resources, where something like I think the last time those were really invoked were like during the when the government broke up the railroad barons or the oil barons of the 1920s and 30s.
Uh-huh.
Those are actual physical scarce resources where people legitimately did not have alternatives to choose from, which I don't think is the case within the entertainment landscape. And I think that the fact that the entertainment landscape is changing so rapidly and that it's so much easier for nobodies to come out of nowhere and become that much more powerful within this industry makes it that much different than the times when we had to become the trust breakers.
Right. I mean, well, we think about all those Marvel shows on Netflix getting canceled. We've got, think about what happens when Disney has its own and it starts pulling all of the Fox stuff. They'll pull the ABC stuff. They're going to pull that stuff from Hulu and Netflix and, all that.
I disagree. I don't think they're pulling that. I think they're going to start using Hulu because they're majority shareholder in Hulu now. They're going to use Hulu as their more adult outlet for their like alternative media that they used to have on Netflix. But it's not like Netflix is unable to compete with Disney. Like Netflix is fucking massive. Netflix right. probably puts more money into some of their movies than Disney does. Like Netflix put more into Bright than Disney put into A Wrinkle in Time. And both of those movies fucking suck.
Yeah. I mean, that's only two though. Think about if another streaming service wanted to come out, What would they have to do?
Oh, you mean like Crackle?
Exactly. What is that? Yeah. I guess they'd have to come out with Joe Dirt 2 to right? really get the people going, right?
Joe Dirt 3. Yeah. Fucking Sony thinks they can compete. Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, who knows? I mean, and then if Disney is a majority shareholder in Hulu, what's to stop it from selling those shares and tanking Hulu? So that they can boost their own stuff.
I think it's more about the optics of it. Like, I just don't think Disney is going to have any R-rated content
on
Disney Plus.
Who cares about the optics at this point? It's Disney, man.
Dude, Disney cares a shit ton about the optics. Why do you think they fired James Gunn?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, do you think that's the big question? They can force their optics on all in on industry? What if they're like, hey, Hulu, if you want to have Disney stuff, you got to no more adult content.
That's, I mean, that's not what's going to happen. That's just bad business.
Okay, we can't have these two.
I'm
like,
sorry, I just trust in the free market more than you do, Dan.
They can't be both for
the
like
invisible
adhering
hand.
To optics.
The invisible hand, Dan.
Yeah, the invisible hand gives all the reach arounds. I get it. It cannot be, Disney cannot both be completely concerned about the optics and then only adhering to what is good for business, because those two things are by definition mutually exclusive.
They can absolutely adhere only to the optics if it's about the Disney brand in itself. Disney has multiple brands that are not, that the general audience does not associate with Disney, that they are able to push more mature / edgy content out under.
Then why cut somebody out of their business?
Because it
was
being
published, not just their franchise,
because his name was so closely tied to a Disney property.
And it still is.
I mean, not anymore.
Well,
not
no, if you go,
he himself,
if you go
not
around,
he himself, but
Guardians,
yes.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2, it still says
you
directed
still
by
see
James Gunn.
Yeah, they're not going, what's that, Alan Smithy, like the fake director name they always put?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I would love to see them change that, like, Guardians 1 and 2, directed by Alan Smithy. Like,
yeah,
just complete,
I mean,
scorched earth their entire catalog of James Gunn's touch.
Yeah, well, only time will tell based on all of this stuff. I still think Disney, it'll be interesting to see Disney's effect on owning all profitable content in the future.
Yeah, well, how long before they buy up all of Warner Brothers? Just kidding, they won't, because Warner Brothers is also fucking massive.
Yeah, it's owned by Time Warner. That's, you know.
Yeah.
Because that's the point. If Time Warner is going to try and compete with Disney and Netflix, and then they're going to ruin HBO. And that's just what's going to happen. Yeah. We all know it's going
to
happen.
See, I want to know. What I want to see is I want to see Disney try to compete with Time Warner by putting out their own, like, Last Week Tonight. Like, I want Disney to hire a John Oliver type character, put out their own talk show.
I can't take that much content. Like, I'm done. I have to pick and choose. There's too much content already. They should just break up Disney because there's too much stuff. They're just like, should say, all right, we're going to dissolve all your patents. Like, I just want 5 years of absolute chaos.
I want to see Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez walk into the Disney office, just like slam some papers down on Bob Iger's table and be like, all of your copyrights fucking done.
Right.
We're rebooting.
Yeah, either your signature is going to be on this paper or your brains will be. Beto O'Rourke comes in with a gun.
I mean, we'll see what happens if, like, so I think Mickey Mouse's copyright is supposed to be up in 2 years. So I'm kind of, curious to see if they're going to, obviously they're going to lobby Congress. I want to see if they're going to successfully lobby to extend their copyright again.
Survey says
probably.
Yeah, definitely. You know how much money they made last year?
Yeah.
You know how valuable their brand is?
Yeah.
You know how much how big of a dick that, like, billions of dollars in box office can get you in Congress?
Yeah.
A lot.
I hope that there's a tech giant out there that's like, no, fuck it. We want to start using Mickey Mouse in our advertising, in our marketing. So they just start lobbying against Disney to let the copyright expire.
Let them fight.
Yeah. I just want to see some billionaires fight, man. That's all I really want to see.
Yeah, exactly. And you think we can do that while they're the heads of huge corporations making billions of dollars in profit?
I hope Elon Musk just starts fucking with Disney for the meme. Like, we know he'll do whatever it takes for the meme at this point. So...
Right, yeah, he'll do the meme and then he'll review it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all right, let's keep this gravy train rolling.
Dude, it's off the rails. We're not on a train anymore.
Yeah, I know. We have to just stop talking about Marvel and Disney. That's the thing. It's like every week we talk about it because it's always in the news.
It's
like
ever
it's
present.
Always exactly. Yeah. It's evergreen. My eyes are just full of red pages flipping by.
I have dreams of Bob Iger. I can't control them. They just show up.
God, yeah. I had a terrifying dream last night, and I woke up in a sweat, and I was just like, oh, man. That's the end of that story. There's nothing. There's no. That wasn't a joke. That was just a real thing that happened to me.
Oh, did you want to get real? I'm sorry. Is this therapy angles?
This is a bad time to reveal our rebranding. 20 minutes into the episode.
Yeah, we're a self-help podcast now.
Right, yeah. So back to my dad. No. So speaking of Lowe's, Bohemian Rhapsody 2 is rumored, and we know this is eventually going to happen, but I recently saw they kind of backtracked a little bit, but we know it's
going to
happen.
It is going to happen. Dan, give me your pitch on Bohemian Rhapsody 2.
I kill myself.
In the theater?
Yeah, in the theater. I go up in front of the screen and say, this is what you wanted. Don't stop me now. And then I blow my brains out.
No, I hope you, before you, okay, that's a good way to go out. But the only other way I would say you go out is
on a bicycle.
No, is walk up to the screen instead of saying, don't stop me now. Just say, Ayo.
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 They're going to, if they want to do Bohemian Rhapsody 2, they're going to have to retcon how much they screwed up the story. Like, yeah. it'll be like, what are they going to do? Like, all right, it's after Live Aid.
Fuck.
Freddie figures out he has AIDS for the second time.
Freddie got fingered.
Yeah, there's another 5 years of just him having AIDS. Right. Like, what?
I hope that they just kill him off. Like, I hope they continue on with the timeline they set up in Bohemian Rhapsody 1 in the Rhapsody universe, so the Rhapsody cinematic
right,
universe.
Right, the Rhapsody cinematic.
And I hope that they just bring Freddie back to life. Just bring him back to life at this point. Like, you already fucked him. It's not like the story is accurate to begin with. Like, you could just.
And this time he's straight for real.
Yeah, he's straight for real. And you know what? He fights Jesus. Fuck it.
Yeah, with his hands.
No. With his dick.
What? How?
Sword fighting.
Sure.
You tell me you've never sword fought anybody before?
I mean, not a religious figure, except that one time.
I've only done it with religious figures. Yeah, I grew up Catholic. Yeah. Got him.
Right. Let's not talk about it. I signed an NDA.
With the Catholic Church?
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
Dan, you can't be afraid to make priest jokes on this podcast. We're non-denominational.
Yeah, that's in our credits. Non-denominational.
The only non-denominational movie podcast on iTunes.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's just go into the top of that toss up. Whatever. The new Aladdin trailer. It doesn't look bad. That's my initial thoughts.
Yeah. It's
live action Aladdin.
I think a big part of it is one, Guy Ritchie's visuals. I think they were pretty hamstrung in the previous trailers because the previous trailers were trying to make it seem like this grand epic Arabian tale, which I mean, you could argue Aladdin is.
It is.
But it's also not. Like, it's a musical first and foremost, I think. At least that's how I would pitch Aladdin and how I vividly remember Aladdin. So getting to see the musical remixes in this trailer and hearing like the modern update and like a significantly more orchestral take on these songs, I think works really well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And seeing the humor has been kind of like upgraded and is really using Guy Ritchie's visual style.
Yeah.
And it, like, a lot of visual gags. I think that's pretty good. And also seeing that Will Smith won't be blue the entire time.
Yeah. I mean, that wasn't, I think, a problem for me. I think it's more so getting to see Will Smith actually, like, what is Will Smith's genie character actually going to be like? And I think, like you were saying, the humor actually, like, there's actual humor in this trailer and it works. Like, it seems like it's been written around Will Smith's delivery. And I was actually like, I was smiling throughout this trailer. I was like, oh, this actually looks like a good time. And
yeah, it looks entertaining.
Man, I was not expecting to be excited for this movie, but now I'm like, I want to see this in theaters.
Right. I really just hope they don't write an original song. Like, it just keep it.
Yeah.
Don't mess with the formula too much.
Yeah.
I think Guy Ritchie is his visual style really, especially during the scenes when Aladdin is,
parkouring?
Jumping around the city, like, yeah, dude, parkouring. Parkour. It's like parkour. Yeah, what is this? 2006? It's not. I think it looks like it's well suited, and just like the pageantry and everything. I was like, oh wait, has Guy Ritchie just been making Disney animated live action movies for adults this whole time? I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, Rock and Roll is my favorite Disney film.
Right, Snatch, Great Disney film. Everybody loves the Irish. Yeah, yeah, so we're getting, I'm much more, my fears are assuaged much more from this trailer than previous trailers.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm hyped.
Yeah,
Disney,
me too.
You got me again. God damn it.
Yeah, exactly. See how it happens? They'll get you. They'll get you.
Yeah, I want them to take away Aladdin and give the property to Wes Anderson instead. I want the government to come in and just like deliberately dictate which directors get Disney properties when they break up Disney.
Right. As Rupert Murdoch said in the New Yorker piece, Americans don't like to admit it, but authoritarian societies can work.
Exactly.
Speaking of authoritarian societies and fascist overtones,
Captain Marvel.
The newest Marvel movie, Captain Marvel. It rocketed into theaters this week with $153 million, sparking the first female-fronted entry in the Marvel Cinematic Universe at entry number 21, starring Brie Larson, Sam Jackson, and many other people. Ben Mendelsohn, a favorite.
Clark Gregg.
Clark Gregg's, yeah, sure. He's in it for literally 30 seconds.
Shout out to Agent Coulson. Everybody go watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, and I'm sure if you don't know what that is, join the rest of us. Let's get into this movie. Robert, you know all about this movie and the comic overtones, undertones. Set the scene for us. What is the story about? This is a phase one movie, isn't it?
This is I guess technically a phase one movie. So Captain Marvel is Carol Danvers. She is a former fighter pilot. Do you want the movie backstory or do you want the comic backstory? I got multiple options for you.
We did the comic backstory last episode. If you're listening to this now and you're like, but what about the comics? Go to the last episode. We talked all about it.
Yeah.
Give me the movie. Set the stage for the movie. What's going on in this movie?
Yeah. And so this movie, Captain Marvel, set in the 90s. Carol Danvers, also the titular character, Captain Marvel, is a former U.S. Army or U.S. Air Force fighter pilot who has lost her memory for some reason. And you find out why and how throughout the course of the film. And
whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Secrets are withheld from the audience and they gradually learn more as information is delivered throughout the movie.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like fucking Memento, but in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes.
So yeah, this movie picks up with Carol Danvers waking up on an alien spaceship, or I guess on an alien planet, and she eventually falls back to Earth because of some circumstances that are also explained as you watch the film, and you kind of just go on an adventure with her as she pieces together her past life and why she is as powerful as she is now, and what the alien governments that are trying to control her are really trying to do with her.
Right. And she is a Kree, which is in her words, a race of noble warrior heroes.
Yeah, we can talk about the stilted dialogue in a couple minutes.
Yeah, yeah. and they're fighting their mortal enemies, the Kree, who are a shape-shifting...
No, that's the Skrulls.
Skrulls. God, they sound both the same. I swear to God, like, they're different words, I know, and they don't have any of the same letters, but to me, they both sound the exact same.
Yeah.
So Skrulls, which, I mean, at this point, let's just change the name. Like, the names who invented, like, the 1970s by some hack writer, like, who cares?
Wow, you calling Stanley a hack? Fucking dick.
Did he create Carol Danvers?
I actually don't even... No, I think that was Jack Kirby.
Yeah,
maybe
Jack Kirby's a hack.
Did he do it? Wow.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. Captain Marvel is based on by Stan Lee. And then there's also... Wait. Carol Danvers is by Roy Thomas.
Name of a dead man.
Yeah, Roy Thomas. He was born in Jackson, Missouri. Isn't that cool?
So cool.
Yeah, so cool. So whatever I was saying, they're fighting the Skrulls. Skrulls are shape-shifting alien monsters, and Carol Danvers has got to use her wits and powers and her cool teammate Sam Jackson.
Mainly her powers
from the past. Mainly her powers.
She
yeah, mainly
she
her.
Really outwit anybody in this movie.
Yeah, no, she mainly becomes God and then uses those God powers to become God.
Yeah, exactly. If you've seen Dragon Ball Z, you've seen the arc of this movie. Like any episode of Dragon Ball Z, you know what happens in this movie.
Except her tail never gets cut off because she turns into a giant monkey when the moon comes out.
Uh-huh.
My favorite part of Dragon Ball Z is when Vegeta gets there and he needs to defeat Goku, and then he flies around looking for the moon, and he's like, they blew the moon up.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Why did you do this? Great. That's great. But enough of that. Let's get into this movie.
Dan, set the stage for this movie.
Yeah. So the acting, Brie Larson, I think, who we know from Short Term 12, Room, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. Mm-hmm. Like she's a good actress. She's got an Oscar. She's fine in this. She shows up, she reads her lines, and she, you know, sometimes looks pretty badass. Her chemistry with Sam Jackson is really kind of the good part here. Him and her have a good rapport. It's nothing like super special, but it's entertaining. Sam Jackson's the real star.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, he really shines. He shows up like, and he's doing his best.
Yeah. It's super easy to forget that Sam Jackson is a fucking 70 something year old man in this film. Like he's digitally de-aged, but he's also just like, I guess his charisma hasn't changed since he was, you know, a young man, but
yeah,
boy, does he seem young in this film, except for when there's a couple scenes when he has to do stunt work. And you can kind of tell, like, oh, wow, they didn't just get a stunt double for that. Like,
yeah, no, that's just an old ass man trying to do that. Yeah. Well, it's got Ben Mendelsohn, who is the unsung hero in this. Like, amazing.
Yeah. If you're
like,
going to see this movie, see it for Ben Mendelsohn.
Yeah. It's like, does that mean you could turn into a filing cabinet?
Why? Why would I do that?
I don't know why I would do that. Yeah. Great. Lots of good stuff. Jude Law he shows up. He is the mentor to Carol Danvers. Also, what's her Cree name?
Vers.
Veers.
Veers. The last four letters of her fucking name.
Yeah. Cool. Great. I love it.
Yeah.
And so he's her mentor and confidant. And then what else is who else is in this movie? Oh, Annette Bening, who is. Legitimately bad.
That was a weird role. Yeah. Just overall,
she plays a unknown character at the beginning of the movie, and she's
still kind of an unknown character at the end of the movie too. Like,
yeah, exactly. But she is who Captain Marvel most respects, and so the AI leader of the Kree. Stay with me now. Shows up in the form of the person you respect the most. So it's Annette Bening, and she's, I'll say honestly, like, not good in this movie. I love Annette Bening, but she does not really know what to do here, I feel like.
Yeah.
And it might also just be underwritten, but yeah, I feel like scene that she's in, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, who are you trying to be?
I really just want to use this to segue into, I think, the biggest problem with the film, which in my opinion is the script. And I felt that way. Yes. You feel about Annette Bening. I felt that way towards Brie Larson as well. Cause boy, she was like, and it's not that, like, I know that Brie Larson can be charismatic and that she's a good actress and she's been in films that I absolutely adored. But boy, was she boring as fuck in this movie. And I don't think it's her fault. I think it's just the script. And more so than the script, I think it's the character of Carol Danvers, because Carol Danvers is just a boring ass character. It's like somebody who reads the comics. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes Carol Danvers in the comics, and Marvel tries so hard to push Carol Danvers as like the new main character in the Marvel universe, and it never holds. It never takes, because she's just a boring character. There's nothing about her that makes her unique.
Yeah, I did kind of feel like, and this is maybe also a critique of the MCU as a whole, that the, you know, the best entries have like all of the movies are similar in certain ways, and the best entries do the, like, what every Marvel movie has got, like, three things. It's got like some okay action scenes, some cool like set design, but it all kind of looks similar. Mm-hmm. The quippy dialogue, big like charismatic actors who are carrying it, and, you know, some crazy like lore, mythology, like big bad thing happening.
Yeah.
In the background. And with that, I think the dialogue here is best when it's between like quipping characters who are all equally invested in the story. And I think there's only really three characters who are invested in the story, and that is Carol Danvers, who is kind of just like things just kind of happen to her. It's like, oh, I can't remember anything that's going on. It's like, yeah, okay, we can tell by the way that you do everything.
Yeah.
And Sam Jackson, who is Nick Fury, who's doing, he's trying to figure out what's going on. This is like the craziest thing that's ever happened to him. So, and we also get the benefit of knowing how it ends. So we like, oh, of course, Nick Fury is going to want to like be with, you know, Captain Marvel and figure this out, because we know he eventually becomes the leader and the assembler of the Avengers.
Yeah.
And then you've got Ben Mendelsohn, who, what's his character's name again?
I don't fucking remember. Talos?
Talos, yes. Who's a great character. And he's obviously driven by the ongoing battle between the Skrulls and the Kree. And kind of as soon as Carol Danvers gets on Earth, everything else is kind of a side point, like background music, while we're trying to figure out about her past.
Yeah.
And it's a slow roll to figure out her past.
And it's not even that interesting of a past. It's like her past is like, oh, she's somebody who just got back up again after somebody said something mean to her.
Yeah, that's, I mean, we can, I think that, you know, in reading stuff, I think it was something that was maybe lost culturally on me, but I didn't feel like, other than, it was the only time that I, you know, I usually, I'm for it, and when I saw certain things happen in this movie, I'm like, oh, this is pandering. Like, this is, one of her main qualities is not that she is, she doesn't have a lot of depth. One of her main things is that she is a woman.
Yes.
And that, you know, she has faced a certain discrimination in her life. But outside of that, there's not really a whole other point for me to be rooting for her.
Do you know why they call it a cockpit, right?
Right. Great, great line.
great
dialogue, line in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know why they call it? Yeah. And I was like, it was funny. There was a little girl in front of me who was like asking her parents several questions about the movie.
Yeah.
And she's like, what does that mean? And he's just like, the dad's just like, nothing, never mind.
Yeah. God. Yeah.
So things, yeah, the dialogue is obviously not the most creative in this. It really rides on the performances and in the delivery. And I think Sam Jackson and Ben Mendelsohn are, you know, pros. Obviously, they're way older and more experienced. And Brie Larson is trying to make the best out of it, but I don't think they give her a lot.
They don't.
And this movie was written by like five people.
Yeah. And it's like, and again, I know exactly what you mean by like straight up pandering. And I think the worst moment of pandering to me in this film was the final fight scene, which, spoiler alert,
yeah,
is set to No Doubt's Just a Girl. Which is
right.
One, hilariously on the nose, and two, doesn't fit thematically at all. Like, if there was any setup at all, like, maybe I could have bought it, because Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, they can get away with those silly music choices, but still have it be tonally consistent. But Carol Danvers is played off as such this, like, badass, no-nonsense, like, army girl, that as soon as that starts playing, it's like, why? Why is this playing other than the fact that the song is called Just a Girl? Because, like, they don't show her any of her tastes. They don't show what what Captain Marvel likes to do in her free time. Apparently she had just remembered that she's an Earthling, like, within the course of a day of this film happening. And it's not like she was like, oh, I remember this song, I remember this and this. Like, and honestly, I think that kind of feeds into the fact that I think that the 90s setting in this film was wasted. I don't think that it was used to a strong effect at all. And like the set dressing looked decent, and it felt like the 90s, but I didn't feel like there was any reason for it to be.
So yeah, the 90s thing definitely kind of rang a little bit hollow on me, especially when, like you were saying, the Guardians of the Galaxy has that astute ability to use old songs. But it informs the character of Star-Lord. That's why it works so well.
Oh,
in this, we get like that weird jukebox feeling of like, hey, remember this song? It came out in the 90s.
Right.
Like, all right. Yeah, sure. And it just did not work. And so when it came to the time to do that, like, I'm Just a Girl, I was kind of like, wait, is this, What's going on? Like, why are you, like, I get she is a girl.
Yeah, we know. But, we know she's a girl. Like,
yeah, and then she's also, in that sequence, she is choosing not to, if she is, like, God at that point, like, she is, you know, like, super, like, she's, she has these insane Saiyan powers, and she can, she's not killing these war criminals, these murderers and, like, massacres of people.
Yeah.
She's just kind of, like, hitting them around, like, haha, isn't this fun?
Yeah.
Like, yo, man, like, yo, these people, like, murdered kids. Like,
yeah, like, this is a war. These are war criminals. Like, you can execute them because they're also trying to kill more kids.
Right. And you are actively, like, trying to kill these people. Like, that's how this is going to end for them. Right.
Yeah.
And it's
fun, quirky action sequence.
Yeah. Well, what's weird about the movie is that it can't figure out what it wants to say about violence,
mm-hmm.
because it has these moments of intense, like, oh, wow, that was kind of brutal, which has happened. Like, people get shot and, you know, bullets, like, go through them, like, these, or these energy blasts go through them. And it's like, wow, that person's dead.
Yeah,
they are dead. And then it'll switch back and be like, haha, you hit them real hard. And now they're like, OK, why? So violence is being exploited in this movie, especially kind of the idea of refugees. Of, you know, it's hard to get into it without spoiling some of the movie, so I'm not going to. But it just, the way that this movie treats all of its subject matter is very flippant.
Yeah.
And I think it shows, and it, you know, it's a fine movie. I'd still say it's like bottom 50% for the MCU movies. It's much more in line with how I feel about the first phase of, you know, barring Iron Man 1, first phase MCU movies like Thor, Iron Man 2, Captain America, the first Avenger, who we, you know, also learned was not the first Avenger, question mark.
Which is like,
the weird retcons in this movie are interesting.
It gets even worse if you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I bet.
Yeah. Yeah. One, Captain America, the first Avenger is a significantly better film than this. Yeah, I would put this like on the
it's
same
definitely
level
longer
as like Thor 2.
Ooh, so like you're saying like bottom
this
three
is like,
movies.
Yeah, I was not really a big fan of this film at all.
It did feel like we're getting to the point where they thought, hey, we can use this as like a, you know, introduction to a character. We can just sneak this phase one movie in here. And we're all like, nah, we've seen this like a million times before.
Yeah.
And there was not a lot driving this, and it made me, it's just that this is a character that it was a very raw introduction. It, you know, Black Panther had a little bit of a lead in with a Civil War.
Oh, I think Black Panther's introduction was way smoother than this. Like this right. Legitimately feels fucking shoehorned in before Endgame.
Yeah, and I guess we'll have to see Endgame to figure out if this movie was necessary, because theoretically it should, right? Like she's supposed to be one of the, like the leaders, you know, it's going to be like Black Panther and, or isn't it, is it Strange and Captain Marvel who like lead the Avengers like here on out, we think?
Yeah. I mean, it kind of
like
swaps.
They have like the Iron Man and Captain America vibe.
Yeah. But I feel like, honestly, Black Panther should be the leader of the Avengers moving forward. I think that would be way more interesting. One, just because I think T'Challa's he's a more interesting character. There's a lot more internal conflict that he has to deal with than Carol Danvers does.
But every like 2 weeks, he's got to go back to Wakanda and do a fight to the death for the king.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, that's what makes it cool, though, is that like he does, like he should have an allegiance to the Avengers and also to his people. I feel like, you know, you could really explore that in future Avengers / MCU films if you give him the power to like lead the world's defenders. But if Carol Danvers becomes the new de facto Avengers leader, like, OK, what? There's not like you don't even have like Captain America's like a man lost in time aspect.
Right, because she's, yeah, I lost 16 years, 16 good years.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Who are Nine Inch Nails? Like,
yeah, exactly. What is with all this flannel? Where's my flirkin?
God. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. So that's another thing that I think. So this movie is, there are funny moments. I think that about like 70 to 80% of the humor works. But there, like, there are some punchlines in this film that are like so goddamn telegraphed that it's sad to see Marvel humor that was once so subversive become so rote in these films.
Like cliche. Yeah. Well, and what's funny is that you saw at the Draft House, I assume.
Yeah.
I saw in a packed Regal theater at like 3 o'clock on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And it was packed to the gills. And it was interesting because I wanted to get a read on everybody's kind of reactions mm-hmm. to it. And there was not that much laughing going on. Like, it was a lot of laughing at Mendelsohn. Like, as soon as that whole thing gets resolved, like, oh, this is funny. Like, a lot of laughs for him and Sam Jackson. Like, oh, yeah. Overall, though, I felt like it was a lot of laughter off of charisma. And I really did feel like the movie kind of dragged. And I thought it was pretty boring throughout. I was kind of like, all right, let's get to the thing that I know is going to happen because this is how all these movies work.
Yeah.
You know? If you think that you know how the movie's going to turn out, you probably do.
Yeah. And again, that's everybody's been saying, like, if you didn't like the trailers, like these trailers were actually accurate for the marketing of this film, which is.
Yeah. Except maybe some of the better humor, which is good.
Yeah. Like there's some good humor. I think early on, there's that dude from Guardians of the Galaxy who's part of like her Kree squad. I thought that whole exchange was pretty funny where he's like,
oh, yeah.
I forget what joke she makes, but like one of the other guys is like, which is funny because objectively you're a very handsome guy, and he's like, thank you.
Yeah, like, he's like, oh, interesting. Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
And it's like this movie really only works when it's the side characters or any of the tertiary characters just like bantering with one another. Like nothing about the main plot of this movie I think was engaging at all.
Yeah, and they have a cameo, I would say, of a medium bad from another movie. And it's almost like it's set up for something else, but we're like, no, we know how this ends right? with this guy. Like,
yeah. Spoiler alert, the dude fucking dies in a dance off with Star-Lord, like in a significantly better film that actually knows how to use its musical references. I want to know what this movie would look like if James Gunn had directed it, like that, because I've always wanted like
that would have been weird.
I would have loved that. And also, I think that I've always been clamoring. It's not going to happen now because, you know, as we spoke about earlier in the episode, James Gunn is not working with Disney anymore. But I would have loved to see a third Guardians film that kind of takes place like that. Well, it doesn't take place in the 90s, but has more of like a 90s tone to it.
Yeah,
I think that would have been super fun.
Yeah. I really don't have too much else to say about the movie other than, you know, you have like the standard leap of faith, like her. Oh, yeah. Hey, change the colors on my suit. Like, why would they build that in there? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a few things that happen in the movie that you're just going to, oh, we're just going to like let that alone.
Yeah.
Like this, that person just died for no reason, apparently. Right? Like, you know who I'm talking about? Like, it's towards the end. I'm just like, wait, they just murdered that guy. Like, yeah, they could have definitely saved him.
Yeah, like, easily. Like, he had no reason to be where he was. Like,
yeah. Oh, God. What did I?
Yeah.
This movie, I'd say, it's a weird, because Endgame is literally like a month away.
Yeah.
At this point. And it feels like such a weird lead in to Endgame because I was much more excited for it before this happened.
And, like,
and then I was like, ooh,
even the post credits scene in this movie, I was like, dude, this doesn't even like it's funny to see like how significantly the tone shifts when you get to the post credits scene. That's like obviously a teaser for Endgame.
Right.
But I'm just like,
spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoilers. As if yeah. Spoilers, Captain Marvel will be in Endgame. But man, that didn't really get me hyped at all. I'm just like, this character feels like she doesn't even belong in the MCU right now.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to fit her in. And I mean, obviously, that's what I thought about every character in in Infinity War.
Yeah.
I was like, how are all these characters going to interact with each other? And it's like, watch this.
Yeah.
And that was cool. But I'm like, what is, they're going to have to, in a huge crowd of big characters,
they're gonna have to define
big personalities.
Captain Marvel as a character in this movie because her standalone film did not do that. So I'm gonna be super curious to see how they play that out.
Right. And, you know, maybe she's changed in whatever, like 16 years that it's been.
Yeah.
Right. But also, like, if she's like one of the guardians of the universe, how did she not know all this stuff was going on? Like, hey, by the way, this guy is collecting all these super important stones and he's going to wipe out half, like the fact that she, like, hey, he's calling her on the beeper and then she arrives and, yeah. and it's like, you know, she has questions. Obviously, it's like, what, you mean you didn't notice?
Right. Yeah.
How half of the fucking universe disappeared right? in yeah. the dust. And your first thought was maybe I'll check in on the guy who found me and gave me his memory. Like, dude. You're a shitty friend, first of all.
Yeah.
You must have been doing something really important.
Yeah, you're just a fucking shitty hero. And then the whole thing where it's like, oh, all those times the Guardians fought, like, the dude that tried to decimate your home planet? And you just...
Yeah, where
were you? Like... oof. Yeah, it's... I don't think this movie should have been a prequel. Or, like, if it was, I don't think it should have... I don't think they should have done this in between Infinity War 1 and 2.
Like, yeah, they needed another Captain Marvel movie in here before Endgame.
Yeah.
Because now, it's like, what's this movie going to be, like, you know, 2.5, like, 3 hours long, probably?
That's what they said. Like, how much final runtime of, like, 245 or something?
Right, which it should be, since it's, like,
for sure.
the 22nd movie in a cumulative series.
Yeah.
But it's, like... I guess there will be less characters than for her to have to.
About half the cast. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So maybe, you know, and some of the stronger personalities, like, will or some of the newer personalities will not be there. So it'll be like, oh, we can define her against these personalities that we've always known.
Yeah.
And how they interact, you know, with Cap and Iron Man and, you know, these people. Overall, you know, I'd say obviously your only choice is to see it in the theaters. This is a big.
Yeah, I would say Disney.
You have to, I guess.
Disney's holding you hostage. If you're going to see Endgame, you probably have to see Captain Marvel in theaters. But then again, you saw Infinity War without seeing Thor Ragnarok.
Right, which made the first 10 minutes confusing. Yeah. Other than that, I was like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, honestly,
because it delivered all of the stuff at the end. Like, oh, okay, this is, sure, these people are dead, these people are alive, this is how they're going
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I do wonder if this is actually necessary. Like, we'll know once Endgame comes out, but I feel like it's probably not going to be that necessary unless, like, there's more to do with the Skrulls in Endgame, but I don't think there will be. Because other than that, like, you don't really learn anything about Carol Danvers in this film. And all you need to know is that she fucked off to space for 16 years and then came back when Nick Fury paged her. Like,
yeah,
that's all you need to know going into Endgame. Because this movie is like probably the most inconsequential of the MCU films to come out so far, which is so unfitting because this is apparently also like one of the origins of the Avengers Initiative.
Yes.
Yeah, it's fucked up. I'm just talking about it more. Like, I was not really a fan of this film, which is a huge fucking bummer.
Yeah, especially, and I feel like I'm usually more lukewarm on these than you are, but I think you're taking it a little harder than I am. Because to me, it's just like, yeah, it was like all, I mean,
it's a lower tier like, Marvel film. Yeah.
Yeah. Here, but it is now that I think about it. Yeah. It is like, I mean, I fell asleep watching Thor twice. and I'm sure that if I had seen this in a basement, like, I don't know, like a big comfy couch, I would have also fallen asleep.
Yeah.
Like,
I think, yeah, there was an episode bummed too. I thought that the MCU had gotten past this point. Like, I thought all these films were back in, you know, phase one. I just hate that it's so generic, and the fact that they resolve it by just escalating Carol Danvers's power level, like all right, I mean, I don't know, maybe I think Doctor Strange
off,
is like
man.
Oh god, oh it's so fitting. Yeah, I just told all of these new origin movies to the level that I hold Doctor Strange, which I think is one of the best MCU origin films, and I'll fight anybody on that.
Really, you know, because I think that's one of the three that I haven't seen.
You haven't seen Doctor Strange?
I have not.
Ooh, we're good.
Yeah, I really wanted to see it in 3D when it came out in theaters, but I missed my
shot. Drop some acid. Watch Doctor Strange.
Deal. Okay. So this is one of the weirder episodes we've had because we both have to say we recommend that you see it, I guess,
yeah,
because of Endgame. But I don't think if you're okay with not seeing Endgame for a while, like,
yeah, or if you're just okay with seeing Endgame and knowing that Carol Danvers just fucked off to space for 16 years and then came back when she was paged, like, that's all you need to know going into Endgame.
Yeah, you know what? We'll do the recap. My roommate hasn't seen Captain Marvel. I'm sure he won't, but he's seen Infinity War, and he'll probably see Endgame. So
yeah,
we'll get the.
Yeah, let me know how that goes. I'll be curious.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just try and forget that I saw this movie and try and take that in. So.
I don't think it'll be too hard.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a sad one. And I guess my only disclaimer with this is that people will use. Captain Marvel is not a good movie. Like, women, you know, this is what you get for a woman superhero. And
yeah,
but
go see Alita: Battle Angel instead.
Right, exactly. But the whole point of equality in representation is that women should have the right to have movies that are not good, and then those movies keep being made, because that's the same right afforded to the people who are represented fully in our culture and media. So. This movie was not good, but I can't wait for the other female superheroes that will be happening, because as par for the course, like, most superhero movies have been good so far, and I'm sure the next one will be fine. And even if it's not, like, keep making them until they're good.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. I'm happy this movie is making fucking bank at the box office. One, because it's hilarious to watch right-wing Twitter lose their minds over it. And two.
Yes, that's also fun.
Even though I didn't think this movie was that great. The fact that this movie's doing as well as it is means that it opens the door to way more interesting characters from the Marvel universe. Like,
oh yeah,
Miss Marvel, I think I hope we get a Miss Marvel movie.
Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
Adam Warlock.
Yeah. My favorite female characters.
Yes. Other female characters like, Rob, help me out. Elektra.
Yeah, I can't wait for the Elektra Nacho movie.
Yeah, what are other? I mean, they're having a Black Widow movie, right?
Yeah, so they're having a Black Widow movie.
10 years too late.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. That's it'll be one to watch out for. Curious to see how that's going to pan out.
Right. I hope they cast an Asian actress for it.
I'd be down. I hope we get. Apparently, we're getting a Silk movie too. Her name is Cindy Moon. She's like a Spider Woman.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I'm pretty hyped for that.
Her name is Silk. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Silk is actually badass. I'm sure we're getting like a Spider Gwen solo film.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It's we're gonna start getting a lot more interesting heroes, hopefully. Because goddamn, this movie made bank.
Oh yeah. And it'll make bank. On bank, on bank.
I just hope these next heroes are in good movies.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, more watchable movies that are less generic and predictable.
We can only hope. All right. But in the meantime, what are we going to see next week, Robert? It looks like there's not a lot coming out on March 15th. I think everyone cleared the way for Captain Marvel.
Yeah, probably a good call considering its box office returns. But I think we should see Captive State. That looks.
Which one is
that's
that?
That's the new John Goodman movie about an alien invasion from the director.
Oh, this is
of
the insane
Rise
one.
Of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, the great Rise. Oh, and The Gambler.
Did he direct The Gambler too?
And The Escapist. Yeah, wow, this guy's really had a good track record. Well,
hey, man, I'll see
really nothing else.
I'll see anything with John Goodman in it.
Yeah, I mean, sure. What about The Mustang? Is that a movie? Oh, this is only in four. Oh, wow. Yeah, there's not a whole lot going on.
Yeah.
All right, well, sure. I guess we're seeing Captive State.
I mean, we could also watch Triple Frontier. The new Netflix original.
Wait, I actually want to watch that.
Yeah, me too,
let's watch that. Okay, with Ben F. Batfleck and Charlie Hunman and Oscar Isaac and Pedro Pascal.
Directed by J.C. Chandor of A Most Violent Year fame. Yeah, I'm into it.
Hell, there we go. Let's. All right. Well, here. We got it.
Adjourned.
Until adjourned. And until next week, nuts. You know what the deal is. Follow us on Twitter at Viewing Angles. You know the website. It's called viewinganglespodcast.com. Instagram, Facebook, you know, just Google Viewing Angles and just figure it out. Come on. This is 2019. This is America. Figure it out. And you know me, it's at the Dan Leo Show, Letterboxd D Leo. And don't try and find me on Facebook. I will block you. Rob, how about you? How do the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram and Letterboxd at Robert Jr. JR.
I love that unity. All right. Well, until next week, nuts, this has been The Boys. I don't know why I said
you
that.
You say nuts so casually.
Right. Yeah, nuts. All right, nuts. All right, I gotta stop. All right.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah.